foundations of your righteousness.
And you're listening to your good news station, WCNO Palm City.
Welcome to Just a Voice, the radio ministry of Global Restoration Ministry. Hi, I'm Pastor Philip Upton. Here at Global Restoration Ministry, our desire is to prepare the body of Christ for the return of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ by restoring foundational truths and earnestly contending for the faith once delivered unto the saints. Join us as we go into a word from the word. Come on, let's go.
I want to talk to you about a very seldom talked about dimension of faith that you and I have to initiate in order for us to maintain our confidence in God. You know, so many things come to challenge what you believe, to challenge your faith. Whether it be healing, if you're believing God for healing for your body, maybe the symptoms have flared up. Maybe the doctor says, well, you know, I see something else on the x-ray this time. Maybe there's some things that seem to go contrary to what you're believing God for, and these things come to challenge your faith. And if you're not careful, they will cause you to vacillate. They will cause you to waver. They will cause you to drift off course. And when we begin to drift off course, we begin to get on another pathway that doesn't lead to life. See, here is the pathway that leads unto life that begins to be revealed to us through the word of God, where the Bible says that by his stripes you were healed. But here's another pathway because of the circumstances that have caused you to drift, and now you're giving more credence and more authority to the word of the doctor who says that you're sick and you're going to die. Well, it's so important that you and I don't allow the circumstances of life to cause us to drift off course, because it's going to take you down a road that you don't want to go. The only way that you can maintain the true course that God has set for you is that you're going to need to set your anchor deep in the word of God. See, anchors are very, very powerful instruments and tools, because you can take a boat that's in the midst of a storm and you can drop anchor. And although the winds and the waves may blow, that anchor will keep that boat in place. It may bob and weave, but it's not going to go past the length of the chain on the anchor. It'd keep it on course. Where if you didn't have the anchor, the waves would push you and you would move so far away off your mark that you'd be lost out there. Today I want to talk to you about hope. Somebody say hope. As being an anchor for your soul. The definition of your soul we know as being your mind, your will, and your emotions. See, the Bible said that, well, we're created in the image and in the likeness of God. We know God to be a triune being. We know that it's Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We are also a triune being. We have a spirit, or we are a spirit. We have a soul, and we live in a body. See, the Spirit of God is life that's in you. And your soul is imprinted on your spirit to give you your individuality. We all are spirits in here, but we're all different. We're not different spirits, because the spirit comes from God, but we're different souls that determines our thought process, or the way we receive information, what makes us unique about our individuality, your special way about you, the way you process information, the way you think. It's your soul, and your soul has to be renewed, because the unregenerated man, or the man that just gets born again, he may be renewed in the spirit, but he has not yet first been renewed in his soul. And your souls have to be renewed through the word of God. Amen. Let's go over to Hebrews chapter 6, and we want to get right into the study. And I want you to begin at verse 13. It says, for when God made promise to Abraham. Now, who's making promise? I want you to get this right, because it's going to be important as we go over this information that you establish the validity of the truth that we're talking about today. He said, for when God made promise unto Abraham, because he could swear by no greater, he swore by himself, saying, surely, blessing I will bless thee, and multiplying I will multiply thee. And so after he had patiently endured, he obtained the promise. For men verily swear by the greater, and an oath for confirmation is to them in an end of all strife. Were God willing more abundantly to show unto heirs of promise the immutability or the unchangeableness of his counsel, confirmed it by oath. That by two things in which it is impossible for God to lie, we might have strong consolation who have fled for a refuge to lay hold on the hope that is set before us. Which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and that which entereth within the veil. Like I say, an anchor is usually something that's made out of a heavy metal like iron or something like that. And the anchor, in the normal sense, is connected to the bow of the boat. And from there, it is embedded into the bottom of the body of water in which it's contained in. Sometimes the anchor is not long enough to reach bottom. But yet and still, because of the weight of the anchor itself, it still allows it some stability. Because although a storm may be going on the outside, how you know that underneath the water everything's just calm? I've never seen a storm underneath water. Now, there's currents, but I've never seen a storm underneath the water. Now, some of us need to get a longer chain in order for our soul to be indebted or embedded in the Word of God. So it's so important that you first find out what your anchor is going to be anchored to. It says that God swore by himself that he would bless you. And in doing so, he wrote that down in his word, saying, surely blessing, I will bless you, and multiplying, I will multiply you. Now, he was speaking unto Abraham when he made this statement, but the heir of the promise was fulfilled in Christ. And if you are Christ, then are you Abraham's seed? And now you are heirs according to the promise. So the word is for you today. Say, this word is for me. Amen. An anchor is a device that is normally made of metal and used to connect the vessel to the bed of the body of water to prevent the craft from drifting due to wind or current. James chapter 1, verse 21, if you turn there, if you will. And we're going to establish some things here. In James chapter 1, verse 21, it says, wherefore, lay aside all filthiness, superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word of God, which is able to save your soul. Now, superfluity means it's a residue, a remained that remains. It's the wickedness remaining over in a Christian in his state prior to conversion. It's the wickedness, the residue of the wickedness that still remains in a Christian prior to their conversion, or otherwise a mind or soul that has not yet been renewed to the word of God. Because you can be saved, and we talked about this earlier, you can accept Christ and still not have your mind renewed yet. And so therefore, there are still some old ways of doing and thinking that you're still doing, even though now you're in the kingdom of God, until your mind has been renewed or your soul has been renewed in the word of God, until your anchor is cast, you could be vacillating. You can be drifting with the winds and the currents that come along because your mind has not been renewed yet. The word naughtiness means wickedness that is not ashamed to break laws. You haven't submitted yourself unto the word. You're still doing things that you used to do. So the Bible says, first thing you need to do in James is, wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness and receive. Somebody say receive. Receive. Now, I looked up to that word receive, and that word receive also has something to do with intimacy and intercourse. Receive with meekness the engrafted word of God. Now, the word engraft, it means to cut and to implant. It means to implant something in. The Bible talks about over in Romans how that Israel was the natural branches and that the Gentiles were the wild branch that was engrafted in. Now, you and I, we have to receive with meekness the engrafted word of God. That means you have to submit yourself unto God and allow God to implant his word in your spirit. There's going to be some cutting away of some things in order for the word to be implanted in you. The Bible talks about spiritual circumcision, talking about cutting back the foreskin of your heart and allowing that penetration for the word of God to come in and to be engrafted inside of you. And once that word has embedded itself inside of you, it will take root and it will begin to change the very nature of the thing that is in. The wild branch that's been engrafted into the good vine now bears good fruit. Amen. Let me ask you a question. Where do you receive your hope from? Many of us are receiving our hope from different avenues. I heard one of our sisters talking about how they watch CNN news every morning and they hear all the tragedy that's going on. And some of y'all getting your report from reading the horoscope in the morning. Y'all, of course, y'all don't do that in here. But some of y'all are still checking the lottery numbers to see if you got any hope from last night when you spent your last dime. But we receive hope from different places if we don't have our souls anchored in the right place. Some people got hope based on their job. My wife says there's a young lady that runs around her job and she complains about how many hours that they're cutting from her job, and her testimony and her self-fulfilling prophecy is that I'm going to have to live in my car. Well, if you say that long enough, you're going to end up living in your car. And then she says, well, if I can't pay my car note, then I'm going to be living on the streets. Guess what? You keep saying that, you're going to be living on the streets. Your Bible says you'll have whatsoever you say. So it's so important that we receive our information from the right source. Where do we receive hope? Psalms 119:74 says, they that fear thee will be glad when they see me, because I have hoped in thy word. That's right. God's ready to do a new thing. You're going to see a change take place. Somebody said, God's going to change me. It's going to be a brand new me based on the hope that I have on the inside of me. See, what you believe, what you desire, what you want on the inside of you is what's going to keep you from going astray. And we're going to show you how this works in just a moment here. Psalms 119:81 says, my soul fainteth for thy salvation, but I hope in thy word. Where's my hope at? In the word. My hope is in the word of God. My hope is not just in hope. And we're going to give you a good definition of hope here in a minute. Because see, hope has been getting a bad rap. People are afraid to say I have hope because they might think that means I don't have faith. But you got to understand that hope is a product of faith. Because without faith, there will be no hope. And we're going to get into that and we'll show you how that works just shortly. But you got to have hope in order for you to receive the thing that you personally desire. It's going to take faith to make it come to pass. We all have faith. But what you want and what I want is going to be determined on the hope that we both have on the inside of us. Psalms 119:114. Thou art my hiding place and my shield. I hope in thy word. 119:16. Uphold me according to thy word that I may live, and let me not be ashamed of my hope. See, it's so important that you understand that sometimes the image and the things that you have on the inside of you, when you begin to share them with other people say, child, please, that's not that. How you expect to be that? How you expect to have that? How you ever expect to do that? Pastor, don't let me be ashamed of my hope that is within me. And so what they'll do is they'll try to get you to dummy down your expectation, get you to come off of your hope. And we're going to show you how this works, how to receive the thing that God has placed on the inside of you. In 1 Corinthians chapter 4, it talks about in verse 13 that we, having the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believe, therefore I have spoken. We also believe, and therefore we speak. So your hope and the image that you have inside of you is important that you begin to speak it out, even though others may mock you for what you believe. Prime example, Joseph had a dream. He told it to his brothers. They hated him for it. But God had implanted something on the inside. He said, yeah, I have dreamed yet another dream, that the sun and the moon and the 11 stars bowed down and made obeisance unto me, the 12 star. And what did they do then? They throwed him in a pit and tried to kill him. But what did God do through the image of the hope that he had on the inside of him? Made him ruler over Egypt. Made his brothers and them had to come and receive grain in order to feed themselves. The prophecy came to pass because he did not deny, he was not ashamed of the vision of his heart or the hope that God has set on the inside of him. Some of you have vision of ministry, businesses, things that you want to do in this life. And if you begin to share those with other people may begin to get jealous of your vision. Or they begin to hate you for your aspirations of wanting to do something grandioso in God. Is there anything too hard for God? Is there anything impossible unto them that believe? Can you believe big in God and don't, why do we have a poverty mentality when we come to receiving the things of God? When God said the earth is the Lord and the fullness thereof and those that dwell therein. Why is it that all we want is a morsel of bread and a little cup of water? And think that means that we're humble before God. Well, I just want to stay humble. You can't help nobody with a morsel of bread and a cup of water. All it's going to do is make you tight and stingy and not want to share. But when you have the abundance, you have good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, you have enough to give. You have enough to share. You have enough to be a blessing to somebody else. You know, me and my wife have prayed for years. Father, make us a distribution center. Doing good and preventing misfortune in the lives of others. Show how you're able to bless a man or a woman who refused to give up, cave in, or quit. Make us a trophy of your grace. That's an unmerited favor. See, you know, favor gives you an unfair advantage. It ain't fair. How God promote you and didn't promote them? It wasn't fair. You just got on the job and you got the promotion. That wasn't fair. How is it all of a sudden now you come up with a witty invention and now all of a sudden you're making millions of dollars? Somebody came up and said, let's put some sleeves on a blanket and call it a Snuggie. We laughing, but they rich. They gone to the bank. Little simple things that keep you, because that person had a vision in his heart. Now, I imagine that if I had told y'all, you know, just before this was happening, and, you know, if I was the one that came up with the idea, you know, I'm going to make a blanket with some sleeves on it, and I'm going to sell it and make a lot of money. Child, please. Or what about getting some chia seeds and spreading them on a little plastic, on a little clay horse or a little clay cloud? How many chia pets people done bought? I mean, little silly things that people call silly are not, because there was a vision of someone's heart and they refused to let it go. And because they refused to let it go, it came forth in fruition. What is hope? Hope is the state which promotes the desire of a positive outcome related to events and circumstances in one's life or in the world at large. Hope is a state which promotes the desire of, somebody say, positive outcome related to events, circumstances in one's life or in the world at large. Well, what is despair? If that's hope, what is despair? Despair is also often regarded as being the opposite of hope. Child, ain't nothing good gonna ever happen for me. I don't see how I'm gonna make it. You know, I better get my affairs in order because the doctor said I'm going to die. Despair is hopelessness. and it brings about the same result as hope, but in a negative fashion. And it comes quicker because the God of this world is pushing it. Negativity, see, you know, anybody ever took a physics class and studied the atom and understand how that there are electrons and neutrons that surround the valence shell of an atom, and the way an atom is determined whether it's going to be positively charged or negatively charged is not by the number of protons, but by the number of neutrons or negative electrons that surround it. Whether you're positive or not is going to be determined by how many negative people surround you. How many negative thoughts that you allow to go in your head. So we got to get away from the negativity, and we got to look for or expect the positive outcome. Amen. The reason is that most people move from hope to despair is that they're looking at the wrong image or they're receiving the wrong information. Remember, your soul has got to be anchored in the Word of God. This has got to be where your hope derives from. This is where you have to be able to hold on to. Because if you trust the news, if you trust the doctor, if you trust your bank account, if you trust the way the condition of this world may look, if you can trust the economics or the housing condition, if these are the things that you're putting your hope in, then you're going down a road of despair and hopelessness. Without a positive outcome, it's going to leave you bitter and cynical. It's going to leave you negative, and folks ain't going to want to be around you. You know, they have a saying that says, don't walk away from negative people. Run. Run for your life. Because they want to steal all of the positive juices out of you. They want to dry you like a dehydrated banana. Everyone seen those dehydrated fruit? That's how they want to get you, because negativity sucks all of the life out of you. You run from them. They get to talk and say, oh, wait, excuse me. Cut them off in the middle of their conversation. Don't even let them continue. And they'll be chasing you, too. They'll be following you, trying to, because see, negativity can't stand to be by itself. It's got to share it with somebody. Child, you think you're doing bad. You ought to hear what I'm going through. And we swap stories of how bad things get. Man, I hurt my foot. I don't mean that. Man, look at my, I lost my leg. Everybody got to have a story bigger than the next one. But what is hope? Hope is the feeling that what is wanted can be had, or that events will turn out for the best, or the act of looking forward to something with desire and confidence. Somebody say desire and confidence. See, hope is not a question. See, it's not, well, you know, I hope it happens. No, no, that's not hope at all. That's doubt. Hope builds an image on the inside of you of the thing that you desire to possess and gives you the ability to see it even before it manifests. Let's talk about it. Another definition of hope is to cherish a desire with anticipation. Somebody said anticipation. The desire with expectation of obtainment, or to expect with confidence. See, without you expecting it, how would you ever know when it shows up? If you don't expect to get healed, that's not faith. Well, I just believe God, one day he's going to heal me. Find one day on the calendar. You got Monday through Sunday. You ain't got one day or someday on the calendar. And only time that God is ever going to heal you is going to be a day that is called today. He's not going to heal you yesterday. Whenever you get healed, it would be your today. He's not going to heal you tomorrow. Because the Bible said by his stripes, you were healed. And your healing will manifest on a day that you can call today. Y'all get that later. Okay. What is godly hope? We talked about the hope that even the world could experience, but what is godly hope? Godly hope is the earnest expectation with the anticipation of good based on what God has said. So what is godly hope? Godly hope is the earnest, somebody say earnest. I want to get this to you. We don't want you to miss this. It's the earnest expectation with the anticipation of good based on what God has said. Not just you just, I expect good things to happen to me. No, I mean, anybody can expect that. The sinner can expect that. And sometimes it happens to them because they expect that. But godly hope is based on what the promises of God have been maintained or have already been spoken concerning your life. God said, I will that you, above all, you would prosper and be in health even as your soul prospers. The God said also that I'm going to give you this covenant that is going to also be for your children and your children's children. See, there's a covenant promise for every condition that's in your life that is going on. And if you lay hold to the promises that you find in God, it's like embedding your anchor in the bedrock and your boat won't drift off course just because something contrary to what the promise of God is has come up in your life. And a lot of times when we, if we don't anchor ourselves in the word, we'll receive the information from the wrong source and we'll begin to drift off course. What is earnest? It means a sincere hope. It means not to take things lightheartedly or playful. It's an eager hope, but it also means something else. The word earnest is also connected in the sense where we're talking about a down payment. When you put down a down payment on a home, they call that your earnest money. And if that home is being sold for $150,000 and I can put down $500 as my earnest money, they have to hold that house for me because my earnest money is a pledge toward the remaining balance that's owed on the house. And even though someone else may walk in and want to buy that same house, they cannot sell it because they've already taken my earnest money or my down payment for that house. So hope has to be your earnest money. It's what you put down until you receive that which is developing on the inside of you. And see, what the devil is trying to get you to do is to take your earnest money back, to give up on your hope, to receive information from another source that will change your mind.
Thank you for listening to today's message. Hi, this is Pastor Philip Upton, the Global Restoration Ministry. I want to invite you out to service. We have service over at the Port St. Lucie Community Center every Sunday. That's at 2195 Southeast Oroso Boulevard. Service times at 10:30 to 12 o'clock. Come on and be a part of our service. If you need to reach me, you can call me at 772-267-1657. Hope to see you there.
Ever a time when you are going to pour out your spirit, now is the time.
We know you're searching, roaming the earth, seeking a people who'll obey your word. Oh, count us among now is the time. Make us the temples of your holy fire. Our hearts are thirsty. Send forth the generation needs to know your love. Boldly we cry out, now is the time. Make us the temples of your